Father, we come before you and we thank you for giving us this opportunity to hear your word spoken to us, Father. And I ask that you give Paul the strength and courage to share his burden here, to share whatever you have for us to hear, and give him the words to speak, Father. And open the eyes of our understanding. Open our ears. Let us hear and understand and take it to heart, Father. And to go back home blessed and to be a doer of thy word, not a forgetful hearer, Father. We just commit this day into your hands and we ask for your blessing upon us as we, after the messages, as we fellowship, help us to keep our hearts towards you, Father, and not be forgetful. Pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, good morning to each of you. It's good to be here. I think of the opportunities we have in this life to open the Word of God and then be instructed and encouraged there's a tendency here in our natures that we tend to let things slip or grow slack in our purposes and intentions, and I think that we do well to look to the Word consistently to receive clear instruction. And as we consider the Word of God, that it will abide forever, and that it also, once we read it, we're not unaccountable anymore to our Heavenly Father and Creator. You know, God lays that to our account that we have heard His Word, and then He requires that we respond to it. That's just a simple truth, but it's one of those things that is good for me. Then when you read that Word of God, we have to ask the question, well, where does that direct me, or how can I implement that or put that into practice in my life? And God, the thing that I'd like to just, we were kind of going to go through Titus 2 here this morning, or a portion of it, and my portion of it here, or the direction I am supposed to be speaking to the young women, as the Bible would call them here in this portion. So that's a little bit where I'm going to be directing, but however, these things are applicable, and we think of the young men here, and there's certain things here that I'd like to just lay out in front of all of you that I believe of a truth. I can stay here and say that each one of you sitting here has a desire and aspiration to be married someday. You're all coming of age, and then there's things that go with that desire and aspiration that you can have a marriage that is God-honoring, and the principles that belong with those things. That's what we want to look at today. And one thing I'd like to say here, that first of all, in our Christian walk, our decisions have to be intentional. Nothing happens by just falling out. It won't fall out. It won't land, or it won't just, what is the right word? It just by happenstance, or just by instance or haphazardly, that we are going to arrive at heaven's gate. That will never happen. It has to, our Christian walk has to be intentional, and the decisions we make have to be based on God's word. So the topic here at the beginning of Titus 2, I'd like to just to kind of get our minds in gear here, is that he closes Titus 1, and I think of, you know, as well, sometimes we can look at a letter here. Paul is writing to Titus, but it's in the whole counsel of God's word that it's a very present help for us today. It's not an old letter, but it's the new and living word. God's word is always alive, and it fits every generation. It fits this generation. It has fitted my generation So that's the, and the ones before me. And the thing of it is, in God and His goodness and His mercy has always had a faithful witness walking upon this earth. He's always had that. It's the goodness and grace and mercy of God that there is a faithful witness that bears witness. However, that witness does not come to be without teaching and receiving instruction and then making application. And let's not be overwhelmed. I think that God is faithful. He knows our heart in every matter. So as we open in Titus 2 here, let's read the last two verses of Titus 1. It says that unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Now, one thing, when I mentioned that our decisions have to be intentional, we have to realize that the enemy of our souls, the devil, is out to destroy every good virtue and witness of Jesus Christ. We face a strong opposition. It's always been that way, but the only way that we can be victorious over that opposition is through Jesus Christ our Lord. He has conquered death, sin, and hell. He is the victor, but He is the only means by which we can overcome our sinful nature and flesh, is the power of Christ within. So those are things but there's a constant warfare. You know, the enemy militates against everything that is true and righteous before God, and he always has. So we need to be conscious of that the things that are good and righteous, these principles that we're going to go through here, they have to be pursued with a good intention. So then, now he's talking about doctrine, but then he tells Timothy, or this letter here, the first verse in chapter 2 is, but you speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. You know, the principles in life here that have endured, you know, when we think of sound doctrine, I'm not sure what goes through your mind, but things that have endured, things that have held their course, things that God is pleased with, that's sound doctrine. The things that, you know, there's principles that will never disappear of, you know, they're contrary to our carnal nature. And we're going to look at some of those things. And then he talks, this is, as we break into it, I'm going to be speaking out of the first five verses. It says that the sound doctrine, there's a verse in 1 Timothy 4, 6. I want to turn to that yet. This is a verse that, why it's important. 1 Timothy 4, 6 says, if thou put the brethren to remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith, and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. You know, let's just leave that, but in our Christian walk, we have to embrace sound doctrine, something that is endured, something that lines up and corresponds with the Word of God. So let's look at a verse. He says, now he gives some principles here, that the aged men be sober. We're going to go across this because of the next verse. The aged men be sober, and there's some, I don't know what you think about of sober, but there's a description that a sober man is not lighthearted. He looks at things quietly, and he doesn't make light of serious situations. You know, we can, you know, in life, God does grant us some situations that are funny or humorous, and that's okay to laugh. But God says that, how does he say that in Proverbs, that planned foolishness is sin. If we intentionally try to be foolish, God calls that sin. And it's the easiest thing in the world, you know, our carnal nature is to want to be funny and foolish. We have to militate against that. I can identify with that. It's easy to have a quick tongue and say something smart, and yeah, it's, God help us to be aware of those things, to be sober. Grave. Sober means to avoid extremes for health and fitness. And then even you all, in your the thing that is sweet about God's word, that it can be gender specific and age specific, which we're gonna, that's what we're getting into here. That it's a we come into this group, you know, like you sisters here are young women. You're in that category. And then one day, if the Lord tarries, you will transfer into aged women. But that's why it's important that we embrace sound doctrine today. One day you're going to be an aged woman and likely be married with children. So these things are very important that we understand them today. And what we learn here is that we can teach and embrace the Word of God. It says here that and the avoid extremes in life. You know, the trend in society is to always have an extreme in one direction or another. A sober person avoids those extremes and he stays on course despite the pressure. The pressure is always going to be there. And then what I was going to say is that we are called to be an example to the younger people. Now, all of you, most of you have younger siblings, not all of you, but there's something about a 3 and 4 year old that looks up to the 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20 year olds. They really, really do. They're watching. It's just that natural thing for you boys as well. Your little brothers that are this tall, they think Big Brother is the apple of their eye. They watch your actions. They record it. So to be an example, then grave. That means that we are composed in speech and behavior. There again, avoid the extremities. You know, in our speech and behavior, you know, it's the easiest thing in the world to pick up little catchphrases that everybody repeats. And beware of those things. Just, you know, watch your tongue. There's many instructions concerning our speech and our tongue to be grave. And then the word temperate. Temperate means restrained. That our passions are under control, not unrestrained. And it says, one who governs well his passions and affections. Where do we let our affections go in this life? There's so many things that come into us, but we do well to put the question to them, where will this take me? Which direction is it leading me? This affection, where will that land me? Sound in faith. You know, this is speaking of aged men, but they're eternal principles and they'll be there. They'll just be there in place. That's I don't know how to say it. You can't take them out of the way. In faith, faith is that we handle the Word of God carefully. And when life brings the challenges, they're going to come. When you have financial difficulties, you might have had an accident, you might have physical difficulties. That is when we need to trust the Word of God that He will never leave us nor forsake us. That's faith. Faith is when we can't see tomorrow for sure, but we know that God will be there for us. Trust Him in those areas. And then it says, in charity. You know, in charity, I just like to go to 1 Corinthians 13 where it talks about charity. What does it do? It suffereth long, is kind, it seeketh not her own. Those things, that's sound. It looks out for the well-being of others. I'd like to turn to that a little bit, just to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, it says that, I'm going to break in here, charity suffereth long, verse 4, and is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't vaunt itself. It's not puffed up. That's speaking of pride and hey, look at me. It doesn't behave itself unseemly it seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Those are everyday life situations that we're faced with. You know, things can come before us in the workplace or in the home that we can be provoked quickly. Charity is not easily provoked. It rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, and hopeth all things, endureth all things. And charity never faileth. The way of charity never faileth. So those are just in charity, and then sound in the faith. That means, you know, there's a sincerity, and then there's a steadiness. There's not a jumping to and fro, and, you know, in Ephesians it talks about the winds of doctrine blowing in and changing our path, but we have a good course in charity and patience. And in patience, that there's an enduring. You know, we have a promise for the future, but we wait upon it. We wait upon it with patience. And we have to be patient in every area. You know, there's our nature of ourselves is to hurry it up. I want it now, and I needed it yesterday. I need the quicker we have it, and we have a society that wants everything right now. That there again, that opposes the good and righteous way. And then it talks about, now we're moving on to the aged women. And the reason I went over the first, that other verse, is that it says likewise, that they are to be the same, those same principles that it addresses the aged men belong to the aged women as well. That they be in behavior as becometh holiness. You know, becoming, you know, there's something about the Christian life, as we heard a little bit last night, that there should be an inviting presence or spirit to you as a group. There should be something that there's a drawing that people desire. They look at that and they say, that looks inviting. It's becoming. It looks something like I want to be a part of. Becometh holiness. You know, holiness is a life that is set apart for God. The scripture says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So there is, and then in 1 Peter it says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And those are things that, decisions that we make in our life. Is it holy before God, or is it not holy, unholy? Holiness, not false accusers. False accusers. Now, there tends to be, I just want to speak as a whole. Not everyone is under this blanket, but sisters and young women, or women in general, they talk a little more than men do. They like to talk, which they're designed of God that way. It's not that's just facts. And then in that talk, there's a tendency to speak evil or gossip or have the latest, did you hear, have you heard, and then that back and forth. You as young women, you need to watch that. God would have you to be temperate in your speech, and then, you know, that when we talk about false accusers, that basically means slander and how we use our tongue. You know, there's many, the scripture's full of slander. You can look at, I have some references, and I want to read one, Proverbs 13:3. False accusers would fall under slanderers. In Proverbs 13:3, there's a one verse here that I there's a few more, but we're going to look at that one. That he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. There's two ways. And then in James 1:26, there's another reference to that. James 1:26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So God would have us to have set a watch over our lips and not fall into that category of false accusers. God has designed women in a very beautiful way, but there's tendencies that lend to these things that we do well to set a watch on it. Keep a guard up on those things. not given to much wine. You know, there's I believe that in those days, and there's some do today, yep, they use wine for medicinal purposes, and I'm okay with that. I just say be very careful. He warned them because the first thing that wine does is loose the tongue and mind. I wouldn't endorse that at all, but in those things, if you ever happen to use it for medicine, why, be careful with it. It's not, yeah. That's as far as the scripture goes with it. And then teachers of good things, which is a big one. Now, this is a charge given to the aged women that they're to teach good things. And we hear that quite often, but even this is for the young men as well. You have a mother that her lifetime is dedicated to teach you good things. That is what she gives her heart. And these good things, I wrote a few of them down here. I don't know, you know, where to stop or start, but one thing I'd like to just mention here is that, you know, if you're sitting in here, and I believe everyone in here has a mother. I'm sure of that. That's true this morning. That you have a mother, and she labors every day for your welfare. But every mother, you know, she's not teaching, or she's caring for you each day, but one day, if the Lord tarries, you will probably leave the house. And then what you retain from what your mother taught you will enable you to live a godly life after that. And you only have a short window. You only have a short window in the teacher of good things. You know, the daily responsibilities, the conduct. And, you know, as I mentioned in the opening, that it's going to come to you younger women here that God has designed your calling to be a keeper of the home. Now, when we look at that, society as a whole would look at that with disdain and scorn and contempt. You're a stay-at-home mom. It's time you get out. Get a job. Get out of that bondage. That's not true. The Bible still would have you desire to be a keeper at home. Make that, I believe it's a most noble, highest calling that's available for young women, to have that aspiration. Aspire to those things. That when that comes at your, when you enter that stage, that it's embraced with joy. That you actually, God has allowed you to be a keeper at home. Think about it. You know why God, as I said in the beginning, God wants a witness on earth here. And then as we look at some of these principles, there's necessary things to look after. You know what, as I said, nothing is by happenstance. We have to plan and learn, you know, the age that you're at, your mind is able to receive instruction. And it can absorb it and retain it. And retain these godly principles, because one day you're going to be called to that noble calling of being a keeper at home if Lord tarries. And it's here again. The aged women are teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Now, none of you are there. You don't have a husband and you don't have children. But in a few short years, if life continues, those things will come to pass. Maybe not all of you, but some of you. So those are things that are important today that we look at and understand how am I going to keep my house? Could I today keep my house, or is there things I need to learn yet? Those are things that we need to look at. And to love their husbands and to love their children, those things are personal. But the Bible gives you young women clear instruction to where to find help in those areas. You can talk to your mother. You can talk to an older sister in the church. Those things are available. God has designed it that they're available for you. And take advantage of the opportunities God gives you. There's even today, you know, we've been married almost 30 years, and there's still questions we have, and we seek counsel from older brethren to find out, you know, what is the right route. And then it moves on. It says, you know, just the areas of everyday living here as keeping of the home is, you know, cooking. You know, if you're going to keep the house, one of the main responsibilities is to food preparation. And that's something that men don't do well at, of planning meals and the everyday living of, you know, that the food preparation is, you know, if you're a keeper at home, that's one of the main things. There's baking. And take it to heart today that when your mother or an older sister is trying to instruct you in these areas, to receive it with meekness, because it's a blessing. These little things of baking and cleaning or housekeeping, you know, those things that we take for granted, that there's nothing more inviting to a husband than when he comes home in the evening to have a clean house. That's hard work. But it's a fact of life. You know, if you desire to have a clean house, that's a blessing to and for the husband to come home to. But it takes some instruction and takes some planning. Then also the canning or preserving of fruits and vegetables and meats and those things, are where are we going to learn these things? Count it a blessing that you have a mother that is able to instruct you in those areas. Here again, you only have a few short years under your mother's care. It's just those are things that we need we need it. And I mentioned before the constant opposition sometimes this attitude that, oh, we had doing that again. We have to do that again. And we can get kind of sour at life because of our circumstances. But remember that God would have you surrender and just aspire to become that godly keeper at home. The next one, I talked about cooking and baking and cleaning and canning, preserving, sewing, and buying clothes. You know, those are all things that will one day be our responsibility. You know, and the thing that I'd like to just put out there is that most of you're all in here, you're part of a body of believers, a church. Be aware of the direction or desires. What is the church expecting? That would do us well if we say, look, is this outside of where the church is going, or is it within the parameters? You can have that peace. Examine it. Don't be afraid to examine it or ask questions. And then, does it correspond with church doctrine and directions? Understand what is modest and what isn't. Let's just be real. Life is real, and there's this constant thrust that is against holiness and all the things that are righteous and holy before God. There's a strong opposition. The next one here is scheduling, planning ahead. You know, know how to plan for tomorrow or this evening. What do I need to do now so that it goes better tonight? Don't be afraid of scheduling. It's a real virtue, a sister that has a schedule, and that we can't be dead on rigid. But there's something about a schedule. You know, there's just look at our homes now. You know, a lot of us come from homeschooling families, and that takes a dedicated schedule. You have to have a schedule, or you're not going to have homeschool. And if you have, you know, the schedule and plan today, don't be afraid to look out. You know, what do I need to prepare for tomorrow? You know, there's meals come in here every Sunday morning, and that's always undergirded by the sisters in the church. And that will be you someday if the Lord tarries. Scheduling. And then as young sisters, young women today, it do us well. I know you all have plenty to do. But look for opportunities to serve in the household of faith, the local church families. Is there needs? Is there things that I can help with the teaching or be a school teacher's helper or send a meal in time of need? Those are actually things that you can actually do today. Look for opportunities to bless a family in the church or even a needy neighbor or things like that. Just spontaneous things like that is good for, it helps nurture our faith. And the thing that we need to understand is that these principles, they are more than just a letter giving us direction, but we need to implement them in faith that we exercise ourselves in these areas. We put it to use. We put it in shoe leather. We put it to use. Then we're going to move on here. The teachers of good things, there could be many more. I know you have mothers that, but let's move on. It says that we're still talking about the aged women teaching the young women. In verse 5, it says to be discreet. The definition of discreet means to be prudent, wise in avoiding errors or evil, and selecting the best means to accomplish a purpose. You know, the scripture says in James that if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask of God who giveth to all men liberally. You know, in areas you will face that you're not sure what to do here, you can pray and ask God for wisdom and he will give it. He'll gladly give it. To be discreet, be wise concerning evil, and select the best means to accomplish a purpose. What is the best way to get there? And then in, there's a few verses in Proverbs here. I turn to Proverbs 2. And then there's a familiar verse that God would have us to be discreet. And then in Proverbs chapter 2, there's a few verses here. That's the wrong reference. I don't have that right now. There was a word of discretion there that I missed. We'll just have to leave that. Okay, I'm just going to have to leave that verse there. But there's another verse in there that I think is in Proverbs as well that speaks of a woman without discretion is like a kind of a harsh verse, but as a jewel of gold and a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion, which we've heard that verse before, but someone without discretion. God would have us to be discreet. The next principle here is chaste. chaste, the definition of that. Another definition for discreet yet is circumspect or cautious, wary, not rash, or to be quick with a decision, and alert. Those are all definitions of discreet. So the next one is chaste. That would be basically pure. Pure from unlawful commerce of sexes, undefiled, true to the marriage bed, free from obscenity in language and speech. Then some other definitions would be pure, genuine, free from barbarous words and phrases and extravagant expressions. Now, there again, it talks about the tongue or expressions we use. Sometimes there's trends come and go where we have pet phrases that we repeat and they become part of our life. God would have us that our speech would be pure. In 1 Peter 3:2, I'd like to turn to that one yet. Speaking of a chaste conversation, it says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear." And that would be chaste conversation. There would be your chaste or pure manner of life, your life pattern. Then in 2 Corinthians 11:2, that Paul said there that he wants to present the church as a chaste virgin before God. That's what the word chaste means, pure. And there again, we have to watch our minds, how they tend to run and go where they shouldn't. And then moving on there, it is would be keepers at home. We touched some of that a little bit. Keepers at home. There's something about, you know, a mother that is keeping the home, that there's a satisfaction comes when you are surrendered to do what God has designed you to do. There's a certain peace that comes from keeping the house and your home that it's a satisfying, it's God ordained. That's why that peace comes, is because that you're where God would have you be. And God delights in that. And he would have us to just embrace that from the heart. God has designed you to guide the house, and he has, there's another thing that I'd like to mention here, that while this is taking place, that you are under the influence of a God-fearing husband. If God has designed this union, it's perfect. And yet there's principles that we learn and are taught that will help this come to maturity and fruition. And then the next word is good. Or it's keepers. Yeah, good, that means to oppose the vices common to man. To oppose the vices common to man. What are some of those vices? Things that, I'm just going to name a few here. There's lying, stealing, that's common to man, laziness, immorality. Those are things that we face, and you as a mother and keeper of the home have to, by the grace of God, oppose them, because they'll be there. It takes an intentional opposition of the carnal vices. That's what good means. And then, more importantly, things we embrace. Kindness, helpfulness, charity, that have our hearts filled with charity. Be cheerful. In life, you know, there's something about if we're in the place that God has designed us to be, that we can do it with joy. and pleasantness, and be cheerful in this calling. Have a spirit of friendliness, cordial, polite, courteous, harmonious, polite, and peaceful. Those are all synonyms for good. The principles, and I look at you young men here, we're talking to the young women here, but as you aspire to be married, what are the attributes and conduct that you're looking for? This will be a part of your life as well. Something to consider. Then the next one, it says to be obedient to their own husbands. Now there's something about after you're married that God wants this union to be of a single heart and mind. He wants that to come together, that they be one. And then he says, and that means that you don't look at other husbands, or not don't compare your husband with another woman's husband. Be obedient to your own. That's where you find the blessing. And God is, you know, God gives, what I like about God in his faithfulness, he narrows it down and gets right specific to who he's talking to, that we can receive instruction with clarity and know that, yes, he's talking about me in my stage of life. This belongs to me. And obedient to your own husbands, you know, there's just a lot goes with that. Responsibilities to love him, to care for the house, and to appreciate him and to support him in his calling. For instance, if the Lord tarries again, God has always called brethren or brothers to the office of the ministry. And if you ever are a minister's wife, the Lord is going to need you to support him. He's going to need you to support him in his preaching and all of his responsibilities that go with that. Now think about this. This is not as far away as you think. It's 10 years, 15 years. They go by real quick. They'll be here before you know it. Life changes in a hurry. But they can be good and positive changes. They can be very important. Now, and then he closes this exposition here, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I want you all to think about that. You know, when God designed the church, there's certain principles that belong with it. In other words, we can't say we're this when we do this. There's certain things that when if we say that we're Christians, there's certain things that are a part of it. And these eternal principles that we just got done talking about, it, they're clear instruction. God wants a clear testimony. His church is a witness of himself in this day, that God wants a clear testimony. He don't want something foggy, wondering, I thought them guys were Christians. He wants to, when a stranger walks in our midst, can he identify, what can he sense here? Or is the word of God blasphemed? That's something for each one of us to consider. God would have us that there's a clear and true witness. God don't want people to look upon the Church of Jesus Christ and wonder, well, why are they involved in that? What are they doing there? You know, what he wants to, you know, blaspheme, that means to take something that is sacred and make it appear to be unholy, or something that takes something that is righteous and holy before God and do things that are contrary to righteousness and holiness. That's where I think each one of us in our daily life, you know, young men and young women, you know, be careful that the word be not blasphemed. We're called to accountability. I can't remove it, and neither can you. But God would have us to embrace it and be glad for that accountability and that responsibility. embrace that because someone is watching. Someone is watching every step we take. But we don't need to be ashamed of that. We just need to walk aware of it. That the word of God be not blasphemed. And then there's something further on here. I'm not going to cover that, but, you know, do our, as young men and young women, do our lives radiate and adorn the doctrine of Jesus Christ, or do they blaspheme the word of God? And later on, we can hear how our conduct can adorn the doctrine of Jesus Christ, decorate it, make it look at becoming, inviting, and holy. Those are things that each one of us, it says here, let's bear a true witness. The word of God and the gospel of Christ are pure, excellent, and glorious. God gave us the responsibility and calling to express the person of Jesus Christ. And these are eternal principles that glorify him no matter how old we are. You know, these are direct letters to young women and young men, but they'll be there if we're 50 or 80. These principles are eternal. That's why it's good to get a good understanding today and accountability that God would have us to walk in this way. And there's, again, I can't emphasize enough that in all of these principles, there is a strong opposition from the world, the devil, and all of his tactics and warfare. He's in direct opposition to all of these. And the only way to overcome him is to embrace these doctrines and say that you're doing it because of Jesus Christ, my Savior. This is why. And God will grant you and have our intentions and motives pure in these matters. That we are sober, we love our husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Those are things that you'll never regret. You'll never regret. So I think I'll leave off there this morning. If there's any questions or anything, you can talk to me about it. I'd be open to some questions. That is what I put together here for you all, and it was kind of not a last-minute thing, but we kind of had other speakers planned here, and this is how it fell out, so we'll take the Lord's doing as the good way. So thank you all for your attention.